to the book of Genesis, okay? I want to go to the book of Genesis. I want to go all the way back to the beginning, all right? So when you have it, hey, Sue, God bless you. What's up, Sheila? Hey, Sheila, I'm teaching some of what we learned over the weekend. I want everybody to go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. I've been teaching these lessons for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And I hadn't wanted to share it publicly. I've been teaching our local church these lessons. We've been going into it to try to improve who we are and to do more of what God would have us to do. And as I go into these lessons, what I'm searching for, and I want y'all to get this, is simplicity. It's simplicity. I believe that it's way too complex. And I want everybody to look for what God has for us in its simplicity so that we can gain a foothold and really get to running after God wholeheartedly. And I think that as I show you this, you go, Pastor Rand, it's not that simple. But really it is. It's wonderfully simple, actually. And then we find ourselves in the will of God. So let's just... Let me give you something I want you to think about. What if after all that we have been through, all that we have studied, we've made one assumption incorrectly? And that assumption that may have been made incorrectly is that man is the pinnacle of God's creative prowess. That God created us, and there is nothing other than what he created in us. And it sounds like man, doesn't it, that we're so great? But I want you to stop a minute, and I want you just to begin to wrap your mind around this, okay? Have you looked at the galaxies? Have you looked up at night and seen the stars? Have you ever looked and studied a science book or looked at something and found out that there's not only a galaxy, but there are galaxies of galaxies? And there's just so much out there that God has created. And now what I want to do with that in your mind, I want to back up a bit, all right, to the book of Genesis. If you'll go there with me, go to Genesis 1, 26. I'm going to read 26, 27, 28. And then I'm going to take you over to, I believe it is the book of Psalms, and we'll go from there. But I want to take you back to a point because I began to, as I was working on the vision and mission statement for our church, freshening it up and going forward, a couple questions came to me. It was like, what was Jesus's vision? You know, when he came here, and it hit me really clearly, he did not have, per se, a vision himself. He had a mission statement. He was sent by the Father to do something. And so what we need to be looking for is not an individual vision, you know, what I'm going to do and all of that, but to wrap ourselves up in whatever God's plan was. And let's figure that out. But I think the only way we can figure it out is to go back to the beginning where it first started and see what God's mindset was when he began to speak over man or mankind. Y'all ready? So in Genesis 1:26, it reads this. Hey, Nidra, God bless you. Aunt Laura, good to see you out there as well. Listen, tag a friend or somebody because I believe that this will be a blessing. Share it. All right. So in Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them who man and woman, mankind, all right, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You got it? All right. So we were given dominion, but not over everything, over the world and over these animals and all that. 27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion, okay, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Now, what I need you to understand is, in our Creator's ultimate plan, and this is going to upset some people because we feel that we are more important than we ought to. I think the Bible even says, let not a man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. It's talking about based on faith and his abilities and all of that. But I don't think that we're supposed to think of ourselves above what God had established for us to do. Because in God's plans, he always sets boundaries around us, folks, in which in those boundaries, they are capable of being successful and achieving great things because he has established it to be accomplished in those places. You got it? And so when you look back at Joshua, he sends Joshua out and he says, from this coast to that coast shall be your borders, and every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on. Where? All over the earth? No, no, no. Because Joshua's job was to hand out or to distribute the promise of God to the children of Israel. For him to do that, it had to be done within certain boundaries. Come on, walk with me on this. This is good if you're listening, all right? And so within those boundaries, Joshua, if he followed the plan of God, was guaranteed success. So what boundaries has God set from the beginning for mankind that I think we've forgotten about? And I want you to see this because we've created so many other things which have made things so very complicated in my mind. All right. That there is so much going on and so many things we're trying to do. And was it ever what God's plan was initially? So walk with me. So as we've looked in Genesis, we find that God created man in his image and in his likeness, and then he gave man dominion. Take care of all this. All right. So now I need you to go with me to the book of Psalms. All right. Or let's go. Wait. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2, 15. We're going to read 15, 16, 17. When you get it, just say, I got it. Amen. Bishop Amarte, good to see you. God bless you, man. Glad you're on today. All right. So, you know, I'll be there in August, Bishop. We're going to do the leadership teaching in Ghana in August. I'll be there. And some of this we'll be presenting. We're going to get those men of God concentrating on what God wants so that we can really affect the kingdom of God in a positive way. All right. So Genesis 2, 15 through 17 says, and the Lord took the man and put him into the garden. Get this, to dress it and to keep it. All right, put a bookmark there. Go with me just a little further. Go to Psalm 8, chapter 8, verse 4. Psalm 8, 4. All right. When you get to Psalm 8, 4, it is a wonderful scripture. And it's even over in the book of Hebrews as well. They requote this scripture. But starting at verse 4, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of earthborn man, now this is the amplified version, that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than God, we read, or heavenly beings, and you have, get this, crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. Look at verse 7 now. All the sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now, I know this is going to sound wild to you, but man was a steward. What is a steward? In his initial state, what was man? He was a steward, a manager. Was given the opportunity to take care of something for somebody. Who? God. And let's just do this. God gave man charge over his created works, of which on each night he looked back at what he created and he said, it is good. Day two, it is good. Day three, oh my, it is good. Four, five, six, let's create man. For what reason? That we might give him dominion over what we made. That we can put him down there and let him be caretaker of it. Now, I want y'all to hear me really good because I've got a question to ask you. I need to lay this in your lap because I want to know if we've been assigned the care, get this, bigger than houses, bigger than a new car, bigger than a new church, bigger than this, that. If we've been given the responsibility, if Adam was given the responsibility of taking care of the earth, how have we done? Stop and hear me. How have we done? if God came back to judge. Now, let me show you why I'm going here, because we've got all kind of things. It's so complex. All the stuff that we currently have, all the things that we are doing, and people have lifetimes of trying to figure out what they are to do. And yet, I believe that there is the simplest of things that we can do that would please God. I mean, a simple thing like taking care of that which he created. Got it? That would please him immensely. So as I looked at the scriptures, I began to see for myself that okay, when God got mad with Adam, why? What was Adam's sin? Well, a sin itself is merely a trespass, and Adam was a steward. So what's a steward? A steward is a person who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another. So Adam was God's agent in the earth. Are y'all with me? Okay, so as God's agent, Adam is required to do what he is. Let's just call him boss. We know he's our creator. He's our father. We are king's kids. All of that. Yes. But when he said, take dominion of this, and in the garden, you can eat everything but off that tree. As the owner, if I tell you, if I say, Bishop Amarte, Mark, if I say, Nidra, I need you to watch my house while I'm out of town. You can eat everything in the refrigerator. You can enjoy TV or whatever. Only thing I need you to do is don't go in my master bedroom. Everything else is free game. Laundry room, everything, TV room, you can do all of that. You can go all about the house, have fun, eat up everything. Well, if I'm to judge your stewardship in the end, and I ask the question, did you do what I say? But you've been in my bedroom, you failed. Adam and Eve failed in something very simple. Their stewardship. And when they failed at stewardship, God took from them their stewardship. He took them out of the garden, put flaming swords across it, and then told them, here, go work by the sweat of your brow. I gave you something to do, and you did not complete it. And so there's a deeper lesson, but a simpler lesson. The deeper lesson, or the relevant lesson to each person listening to me, is of that which God has given you to do, how faithful have you been to it? Have you given your best to whatever it is he's assigned your hands to? And then going back to the simple place, because so many people, whether we're doing faith teaching or prosperity teaching, all that, will say that once Jesus came and we accept Jesus, that there is no longer a curse on us. And so if there is no longer a curse, then in my thinking, then we are to go back to the initial assignment, even as we do whatever else we are doing. We remember what was established in the beginning. And that was the stewardship of this planet. How have you done? Not mankind as a whole, because we can judge everybody. I mean, how much trash do you throw out of your window? How many cigarette butts do you drop on the ground? How many times have you gone fishing and left beer cans on the side of the lake or soda cans? How many times have you thrown a bag of trash into an already pouring over thing of trash in some public space and left like somebody else was to clean it up, when it is our responsibility, yes, to see after each other, because we are each other's brother's keepers. But also we have been called to see about this doggone planet and everybody who's a part of it. Well, in the question I asked you initially, how have we done? I would have to say we failed. Why? Because in certain parts of Africa, in certain parts of the United States, in certain places in Russia, in certain places in China, there are people that are hungry. There are places that don't have food. How is that possible? When he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, how is it possible that there are hungry people if we have fulfilled what God said to fulfill initially in his first plan? In his plan to Adam, wait, let me even back up a little bit. Before I get to that, Eve failed also. She was created to be a help to Adam, but she also was spoken over about the dominion over the earth. But also she had this second state of being his help. Question, was she? So let's do this. For those of you that are in relationships to as the woman in the relationship, do you help? Do you build? Are you an assistant? Do you help him get to where he's going? I'm not talking about those of you who have a man who's not going anywhere. That was a fault somebody made. I'm talking about ones that are striving to be something. Have you put forth the effort to help them get to where it is? Let's go back now. Adam and Eve failed in their stewardship. The initial mission for man was to see after what God created. That does include each other. That does say that we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. Remember what Cain asks, all right? Remember Cain and Abel and how Cain killed Abel because Abel had a more acceptable sacrifice, jealous of his brother, and he kills his brother. Hey, Amanda, God bless you. He kills his brother. You got it? And in killing his brother, the question is asked, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Yes. I'm to see after my brothers and my sisters. I'm to see after this planet. I'm supposed to care about the animals. So let me throw something else at you. Is God pleased in the fact that there are species that are now extinct? Things that for nothing more than our personal greed have been destroyed. Things that... So now let's go a little further. So from this day forward, from this place forward, hey, Kenny, God bless you, man. Good to see you this morning. We need to realize that no matter what we do in the earth, no matter what our assignment, no matter where we go, initially in our created DNA, Daniel, you get that? That's your brother. In our created DNA, in the assignment, that string of DNA that created us, was an assignment placed on it that we have the stewardship of this planet. We have the stewardship of the animals on this planet. We have the stewardship of the plants and vegetables and all of that. And some of you, maybe the majority of you, don't even know how to grow a tomato. You know, we don't know how to feed ourselves. If Monsanto and all these other people ever go out of business, oh, what a mess we're going to be in. Half of you, half of us, cannot find food or forage for ourselves because we walked away from the initial plan of God. We don't even understand how. And I don't want to go too deep in. I just want you to understand that maybe we have made this about more than it was supposed to be about. And I even want to go into faith things. You know, yes, I believe in Jesus. I do, because there was a need for a redemptive work. I thank God for Abraham believing in him to draw us back to him and through that lineage for there to come a savior, for us to believe on him again, because the sinfulness of man had taken us away from the plan of God. But I believe that there was supposed to be a restoration, that man was supposed to be brought back to his initial state, to become who he's supposed to be, to do what he was supposed to do. And yet we don't want to take care of this earth, but we keep leaving, going to the moon, sending stuff to Mars, trying to find other places to contaminate. I need y'all to get this, because until we change our ways, everything we touch is going to turn out like this place down here. Have you ever really thought about what Revelations means when it says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth? When in Genesis he said that this was great, that it was wonderful, that it was awesome. Why should he have to create a new heaven and a new earth? Unless this old heaven and old earth are not going to be worthy to be lived in or worth living in because of what we do to it. Because of our sinfulness, because of our unrighteousness, because of our slothfulness, we dirty our waterways. For those of y'all who are DIY mechanics, some of you, I've done it in the past. You know, you work on a car and pour the oil next to you. You know, instead of disposing of it properly, that's the water table. You know, we do so many things that we should not have done because we haven't known better and we've not walked in the true stewardship that God wanted us to. And so we now have all these religious processes, you know, ordination and ministerial license and apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And it's written in the book and it should be done. But once we get them saved, once we get people back to God, it's not just about getting new houses and living prosperously, just a new house and a new car and a new this and a new that. You've got to be faithful over what seems to be the simplest thing. This thing that God has given us, this planet that he shared with us to live on and to be stewards of. And it's a strange thing to me. And I'm going to say this. There are people that the church say shouldn't be in church and shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. But I have found that those types of people really seem to care about everything that God says to care about. They care for the sick. They care for the naked. They care for the sick in the mind. They care for the sick in the body. They care for the hungry. They make sure that they eat. They care about emissions. They care about global warming. They care about all these things, which are the things that God wants his people to care about. Yes, we should clap our hands for a great sermon. Yes, we should worship God. But is there any closer relationship than Adam had with God in the beginning? That God himself would walk in the garden with Adam and have fellowship with him. And we like the tinglies. Adam didn't have the tinglies. He had God. We like a good song. Adam had birds to sing. He was around the beautiful parts of creation and heard the melodies of God. And even the scripture says, and if he didn't praise, the rocks would cry out. There's this majesty about the power of God's creation. And we can preach sermons that cannot be numbered. But once we get people saved, do we teach them to manage money? Do we teach them to take care of their kids? Do we teach them to watch over their things? Do we teach them to see about the earth? No. A big fat no. Because I know people that'll walk out of church and throw gum paper on the ground. I can't understand how, because if the Holy Spirit is in you, he should convict you about that bad habit. There are people, and even this, people will walk out of church and cuss each other out. Well, how you your brother's keeper? How can you say you love me that you cannot see and hate your brother that you see every day? How is it possible? And so I just wanted to leave a thought with you today. Adam and Eve failed their initial stewardship. The question I have for you and for me is, have you? Are you the steward that God desires you to be? I'm writing currently a workbook for this trip we're taking in August to Africa. Hopefully the book will be done soon. And I'll give the writings to you, because there's a big portion in here about true stewardship. I know churches teach about stewardship. I'm a pastor. But usually they teach about stewardship because they want you to give. Please give, give more. We want you to give. Being a good steward, we need you to do stuff around the church, and we need you to do it. I need you to see about this planet, because my grandkids need a place to live. My great grandkids will need a place to live. And let me even throw this at you, because I went to Revelations, right? What if God only lets the people in the new heaven and earth who prove to be good stewards of this heaven and earth? What if it's an overlooked teaching? And if you search the scriptures, Jesus talks about stewardship a lot. He talks about caring for things and seeing after things and stewards and responsibilities, kingdom responsibilities and earthly responsibilities and seeing after that which is lost. Jesus sets the example for us. But do we follow the example that he set? I hope you click and share this with somebody. I hope you listen to it with a good, clear understanding, that you get an understanding of what I'm saying. I love being in church. I love going to things. I love being there in services and in prayer meetings and revivals and all of that. But after you've done all that, you know, because even I want you to think of this, and some of y'all might say, Pastor Ren, you're tripping today. Well, what are we going to do forever with God? Just worship? Just walk around and sing and worship? That's it. But we're going to be in a new heaven and a new earth and a new body? You don't think there's some, you know, there's no more tears and all that, but man, are we going to get to enjoy? He said, we're going to have, there's so many mansions built for us, and there's a new place to dwell. And man, this might be wonderful. I mean, heaven and the new earth, wonderful. Unless you take the same bad habits with you. The lion and the lamb will be laying down together. I mean, it's going to be a whole different place. So I just want you to think about it. Just think about it. Kenny, I hope I'm making sense, man, because I know you love the fish and stuff. I hope that I'm making sense. Carolyn, God bless you. Good to see you. For those of you who might have missed some of it, Mother Young, God bless you. I want you to go back, play it again, share it with some of your friends, because I believe one of the messages that is missing from our ministerial arsenal is the stewardship of the planet. The job that Adam failed at still needs to be done. And I just want to ask, who'll do it? Will you? I hope I'll do better. As you're riding along, for those of you who still smoke, you know, or do whatever, you know, don't throw it out the window. Put it in your ashtray. You got a little something, don't toss it out the window. Leave it in your car. You don't want your car dirty. I don't want the earth dirty. Why don't you take it home, put it in a trash bag? When you get it in the trash bag, let it go to the dump. You understand what I'm saying? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I pray that you're being a wonderful steward of what God has entrusted to us. I love you. Can't stay. Got to go get my son. I hope that God has blessed you with his word. Well, I know, because his promises are sure. His word will not go out and return void. So I pray that you heard me. I pray that the word will bless you. And I hope you start a community garden. I hope you understand. I'm going to have to teach another lesson. I'm just out of time. But God meant for this thing to replenish. He put seeds in everything so it could grow again and all. I mean, we missed the mark. I'll do another teaching probably tomorrow about how we missed the mark. God's replenishing this. Wow. This is Pastor Rand, William Rand, Dr. Rand, CEO of Wise Resource Management. God bless you. I pray that you start taking better care of everything that God has entrusted to you. God bless you. I love you. See you soon. Amen. All right.